the superculture, or the road to wisdom, fairness, and world peace. The lines, the hoses, the wires are blurry. It is a broad spectrum of cultures. To give an example, religion is a designed or strongly guided culture, where criminal minds arise out of random noise, out of poverty and lack of education, not reading books. This is a emergent culture. Religions are crafted to provide structure where criminality is a work of noise that doesn't really provide anything, and we have legal systems that put a person at a great disadvantage. Emergent means disorganized by default. A thing builds itself out of complexity. Nobody really sat down to create world's gangs. They just emerged out of poverty and continue re-emerging, mostly out of poverty, but to different aims. A designed culture is an organized one. That means funny hats and money collection trays all over the place. There isn't one person that benefits up top. There is usually 100 or 100,000 people. The little guy up on top is just a lightning rod. When it gets enough bad press, it simply gets replaced. A hard-won culture is yet another thing. It is somewhat off the chart. It is the philosopher, the athlete, the adventurer, the artist, the composer. It emerges out of the best, the thickest, the most colorful in us, out of things that are all too human. There is a benefit, but it is such a challenge to get there that the challenge itself crushes any and all benefits. It's just too much. It's not an aim. It becomes an existence. The hard-won cultures only care about self-betterment without an aim in sight and without an end. I write this at a terrible time where we have tragically lost teenagers to a designed culture, but not without response. Aside from protests, in the infinite ways of a teenager, and in their bravery, they took to knocking the funny hats off of old people's heads. Amazing. Extremely dangerous. This here is a poem about unity, about showing a path that really works, that's really there, that will bring the world together without really looking back. I wanted to let you know that to enter a culture is to enter a tunnel. There is a way out, but it first requires an inner desire to exit that culture. That's what knocking people's hats off represents. A need, a desire to exit. And the second, it requires moving far, far, far and away from all the other practitioners and starting a new life without ever looking back. A perfect disconnect A very strange thing that will at first require practice and a lot of thought. But those who want to exit, they do gain that ability to separate their older selves out from their younger selves, because they will know in their golden age that in their youth they were controlled by an either designed or emergent culture. It wasn't them. This is also one of our great tragedies, that we don't recognize this complexity when we sentence people to pay for their crimes. Sometimes people should not go to prison, but should be let off to a new life, and they will never ever look back. I was once asked into a jury duty program where the defendant who chose to defend himself stole a car. When I said that I am unqualified for jury duty, because I am self-taught and mostly not part of anybody else's culture, he looked back at me and saw hope. And he kept skipping other jurors to try to get to me, to pick me. Without thinking, I instantly recognized that he broke out of the culture that he was brought up in. The threat of real prison made him break out of the one that his mind was put into when he was a child. He wasn't the same person anymore. He was new. He was meant to be free. That's why he was representing himself. He knew. He figured it out. That he was betrayed by his family, by his neighborhood, by television, maybe even trips to the library. He was betrayed and misled and turned into a piano key. He knew that the legal system did not recognize that state. And he, in his own way, did not recognize the normal way of doing things and took to representing himself. He wasn't part of the standard culture. He was new. The courtroom immediately invalidated itself before me. There was this old lady sitting in the corner that really wanted to get out of jury duty. And the judge was probing people for racism. And she said that, yes, I am racist. And she was completely lying. She was desperate to say something that is meaningful. She barely spoke English, so she was grabbing onto the words and concepts that the judge was putting out. And when she said that, the judge connected with her and realized that she is, oh, this really terrible person. And he almost got up and he started yelling. It was scary. He was yelling to get out of my courtroom. And I watched this old lady walk out of the courtroom with a lie on her mind. The judge failed to perceive that this person felt she was not ready to participate in the American way of doing things. She was gonna do it later. Right now, she needed an exit. That the judge didn't perceive this meant that the situation was hopeless. Eventually, the judge stopped him from skipping over other jurors and I was not picked. And I was asked to leave. The judge and the jurors were going to betray that man. Hopefully not break him. They didn't know that culture made him do it. And that they didn't see this old lady was lying was the proof that they didn't think in terms of multiple cultures. They were just doing their job, doing what they were asked to do, and only in that preset culture of a suburban person that had a proper education, that had family and parents, and never knew drugs, addiction, fear, tragedy, loneliness, homelessness, desperation, and that f***ing kind of hunger that will make you eat out of a trash can. Whatever the situation was, whatever the details, whether drugs or alcohol were involved, it doesn't really matter, because it was part of some broken culture. A culture that was playing him like a piano key. A culture that he was no longer part of. It betrayed him. It was toxic to him. It took his youth. He had nothing to do with anything he's ever done in there. He was a new man. He's out now. I'm sure of it. He's fine. He's likely aiming to become as close to a public defender as his record allows. He may very well be helping others defend themselves in courtrooms, helping them get an education or self-educate. That was a brilliant man that I saw in that courtroom. This man will never think of himself as someone who once stole a car. He knows that was not him. He was like a spinning top back then. He was programmed by a broken culture. This is why it is important to move as far as possible away from a culture that one is abandoning. Just ride out into the sunset and think of it as a brand new life. Prior to his exit, it really wasn't a life. It was bad programming. It was a prison with invisible walls that were distorting reality and mechanics. It was a toxic cloud that made him perpetually drunk. It takes a lot to convince a brain of separating our existence in two parts. It can be a petty criminal, a racist, an angry racist, or a self-medicating maniac with a history of suffering. The mind has an automatic tendency to just say, "Look at what you did, you are a piece of shit." But people who break out of the prison that they were initially put in, they know that it was unfair, that they are a kind of a victim, that they are a new person, and they are able to stop thinking these negative thoughts. Their exit becomes possible. Their separation becomes available to them. If they just move into a safe and colorful place, I'll be fine. They will never look back, nor will they ever blame themselves, nor should they, for the things that they have done under the influence of bad culture. This is sometimes called reprogramming, especially in people that are exiting cults, exiting abuse or addiction. They were played like a piano key. There's nothing more to say than just that. They were betrayed, turned to cannon fodder. They need a new life. It is their first life, really. They were just children that were betrayed. It wasn't their fault. The philosophers and high achievers have very much in common with those who rise out of that betrayal. Philosophers and achievers rise out of the place that they are plopped in. It doesn't matter where, if it's good or bad, they just go straight up. Now listen carefully. Just like that self-taught man in the courtroom recognized me as kin, as family, the philosophers and late bloomers of all kinds recognize a culture for what it is. A thick but rubber sleeve that can be exited. So as long as we hold course and continue rising, continue and rise and rise and rise and rise again. And there's more to it. Because in this terrible misery of betrayal and bondage and challenge and achievement that really has no end, we find the hard-won keys for opening the future of humanity. Once we start leaving bad ideas behind, our cultures begin coalescing into a brand new emergent superculture. One in which we all eventually converge on wisdom and world peace. Afterward, if you feel like a prisoner in your culture, take two narrated books. You can find them free at your local library or internet website. Get a tiny audio listening device, put it in your ear, and let it go. Find all the books that are held in high esteem by all the world's intellectuals. Slowly, by listening to all these new concepts, you will begin inheriting the culture of the authors and intellectuals. Your culture will enlarge. Your world will enlarge. And you will exit and find a safe place somewhere far and away from your past. And you will be brilliant and unique and powerful. And you will be seen. The following is a very short and extremely incomplete list of people that have a strong tendency to help those who have been betrayed and put in prisons for their mind break out and rise to no end. Aristotle, Plato, Brach Spinoza, David Hume, Immanuel Kant, Georg Wilhelm Friedrich Hegel, Soren Kierkegaard, dear Friedrich Nietzsche, John Dewey, Greta Thunberg, Michelle Alexander. Dear Sir Ken Robinson. Astra Taylor. Avital Ronell. Martha Nussbaum. Jill Tarter. Brené Brown. Richard Dawkins, yeah. Ayaan Hirsia Lee. Ayn Rand. Lord Martin Rees. Daniel Dennett. Sam Harris. And dear Christopher Hitchens. Bill Bryson. P.Z. Myers. Alex Filipienko. Seth Shostak, Sean Carroll, Jared Diamond, Howard Zinn, of course, Noam Chomsky, yes, and Philip Zimbardo. And I have a couple of philosophy books that you may want to start with. The Giants of Philosophy. A collection of, I think, 11 or 12 books, but it is read by Charlton Heston. Oh yeah, very good narration. And The Story of Philosophy, The Lives and Opinions of the Greater Philosophers. Remember that our lives are extremely long. They are so long that we forget so much stuff. It's heartbreaking. Every new day can be a new beginning. For most of us, it is extreme poverty that keeps us in that bondage. But we have to find a way to convince ourselves that if we try, we can make money. One of those ways, one that is rich and full of color and requires nothing but a bunch of books, very dry and boring books, is learning how to program. Is learning how to do art and design and how to create applications for the web. It is the technology of the future. I know that the world is not a fair place. I know that it is really hard to break out of extreme poverty, especially in the darkest places in our world. But if you just grab on to programming and lift yourself, it will work out. It will show you that you need not be afraid of poverty. It will give you the tools which you can keep in your mind, tools that no one can rob you of. It will bring you peace, and that in turn will make you strong enough to rise to any height.